everyone. Welcome to another episode of the show. I remain your loyal and humble Arsenal fan, Obinna. It's been an interesting week in the league, I must say. But yeah, we'll discuss all of that and more on this week's episode. All right, Cheung.
Please, always. Do I have to tell you this every time? Introduce the show properly. What show are we doing? What show is this?
No, of course, this is everyone who's listening knows. But
hello, everyone. Welcome to Bias Football Takes. This is Oluwa Seun Sala, your favorite anchor. Even though the person that's supposed to do the job doesn't like doing the job properly, I'm here to always put things right. And I also want to sing one song.
Please bear with me. Wait, before you sing your horrendous song, you said that. By the way, to those who have stuck with us, thank you for listening. Sean, you said that our numbers have increased over the past few weeks. Is it because I'm back?
It's not because you're back.
Have people missed me?
It's not because you're back.
Okay.
It's not because
attest. You said that numbers have gone up.
I will say the reason why the number is up. Towards the end of the episode, if you remember, remind me. Anyways, I want to sing. And the song I want to sing, Angio, he lost today again. The almighty progressive football coach. Anyway, we brought a Chelsea fan that we will be chasing around because they'll be losing now that they started winning. He decided to come and join us on the podcast. We have Agu on the show too. Agu, say hello to everyone.
Hello, everyone.
He's happy now. That's good, Sha. I'm happy. I'm happy he's happy.
You're happy. I'm a football fan, but okay.
So you're a football fan. You're back with this, your nonsense talk.
Anyway, so on this episode, we will, review the results from the past game week. I'm sure everyone saw the exchange between Mohamed Salah and Jurgen Klopp. So we'll talk about that and Liverpool's implosion because they are more or less out of the title, the push for the title now. And then we'll, talk about the state of the league, at the top and at the bottom. Where we expect teams to end. I mean, it's pretty much clear for most teams, but there are still some battles that need to be decided. And then the first leg of the Champions League semifinals have been played. The first legs have been played. And so we'll talk about the results from those games, as well as Bayern Munich's search for a new manager. And then we will predict the results for the upcoming game week. So this past weekend, we started off with West Ham Liverpool. That was a 2-2 draw. So Liverpool once again dropped points. Fulham Palace 1-1. United Burnley 1-1. Newcastle Sheffield 5-1. And so with that result, Sheffield United has officially been relegated. Wolves beat Luton 2-1. Everton beat Brentford 1-0. Aston Villa and Chelsea drew 2-2. And then on Sunday, Bournemouth beat Brighton 3-0. Arsenal beat Tottenham away 3-2. And Man City beat Nottingham Forest 2-0. This afternoon, Thursday, Chelsea just beat Tottenham 2-0. So, what games caught your attention and, discussions, guys?
I think... Hold on. Let me check. So, I saw part of Chelsea's game.
Which one?
The one at the Drew.
Okay.
To Aston Villa. Yes. So there's something about Chelsea now that I cannot really explain, but it seems like they're beginning to play, maybe because there's no more pressure on them. The whole chaos has, the whole storm has, subsided. So I guess everybody's beginning to understand what their responsibilities are on the pitch, because I expect Aston Villa to beat them, but they tried. They really played well. And yeah, I saw that. Then, I don't know. What's his name? Jackson. Ah, that guy. Then,
Wolves. No, wait. Before, I actually want to hear your thoughts on Jackson, because someone here seems to think that he's a very good football player. So
no, you know, he's, hear, you know, he's a good footballer.
Who is? Nicholas Jackson?
Yes, he is.
No, he is
thank
not.
You, no, he is. Relax.
He is not.
So the thing is,
but go on, I want
now.
To hear you.
That's my question.
Yeah, I want to hear you.
So the thing is, I saw this guy play live, right?
Mm.
And I saw the way he played. And I told my friends, and I came on this podcast and said the same thing, that this guy is going to play really well, but he's not going to score a lot of goals. When I said that, I remember me saying this in the last episode, that I wasn't really, like, it just felt like I've seen this thing before. I've seen this kind of situation before. So I was like, okay, let me just say this. Let me predict this, and let's see how it's going to be. And it's happening that way. It's one of those kind of footballers that it slows down too much, because it's in his head. And he's young. He's a young player. It's in his head. And
but what do you mean he's young? Wait, is Saka young?
Who?
Is Saka young?
He's young. Saka is a young player.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. Okay.
So, for him, right, is a lot of things are kind of not going well for him. First things first, when he started, he scored a few goals, but Chelsea wasn't playing well, so he wasn't getting enough chances. Then when he got the chances, they came, like, in patches, playing in times where, like, he wasn't comfortable. Then when he started getting the chances, his confidence has shot. And, you know, when you get to that point as a footballer, you struggle. Also, he's not a natural goal scorer. He's not a striker that would instinctively just kick the ball and the ball go into the net. So, I'm not sure if that can be learned. But when he gets to that, those positions, like, okay, you expect a natural bone scorer to score, he slows down too much, that he takes too much time in his head thinking. When you do that, trust me, like, we play football now, we play ball, like, we know, like, as a midfielder, you struggle when you're in one-on-one with the goalkeeper, but you can score from far, because that one, you have like, okay, I'm just doing it, bam. When you get close to the keeper, you're taking too much as a midfielder. So for him, I feel like he's more of a, I would say, second striker. I don't really believe he's a winger, but, I mean, you can try him there. So, in his general play, he can ball. Like, he gets, even to get to those positions, you have to be a bowler. You have to be in those positions, you have to be a bowler first. But the finishing is just not good. That's just the problem. You cannot say, will you say for Notorious wasn't a bowler? No, you wouldn't say that. But at some point, he struggled because it was in his head. And also, mere fact that he's Torres. Let me make this point on Torres. Torres scored, I would say, 85% or 60% or 65% of his goals. I don't have the exact stats here, but most of his goals were scored at Anfield. So when he left Anfield, you know, so yeah. And that's one other thing I have against Isak too. Most of his goals this season scored.
Oh my God. Home. So yeah. So what I'm trying to understand the relevance of, first of all, that's when I hope you are not in any way. I just want to make sure you're not in any way comparing Fernando Torres to Nicholas Jackson. I hope also that you're not comparing Isak to.
No. I'm not comparing. So okay. That's my problem with you people. Yeah. You football analyst of football.
No.
I am bringing. No. I'm bringing different spices and sources and reasons why a player is playing a certain way. I'm not comparing them one for one. But I'm saying, first things first, for him to be in those positions, I don't repeat myself, but for him to be in those positions, to begin with, it's not by happenstance. It's not something that it just happens randomly. Then you have to look at the way he's playing. He slows down too much that he doesn't make his decision quickly, and that kind of, you know, affects his goal scoring.
But you're confident that he's a good player.
He's a good footballer. He is. He's just not a good goal scorer.
Okay.
There's a difference.
So, okay, now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, okay, so first things first, I think I understand the name of the show's bias football takes, but I think Ovina has to drop his bias football side and try to be realistic. Jackson as a player is good, right? The only thing that, like, I feel the issue with Jackson is his finishing. You can tell he's not a natural. I feel like he's not a natural number nine. Maybe like a supporting striker, like Seamus said, where it's like, because every time he finds himself in front of a goal, right, he's always thinking of trying to do something fancy as opposed to like doing the, like, you know, easy and straightforward thing. His brain is just like, okay, what fancy thing can I do now to like make this goal, you know, a worldie or that kind of a thing. If you look at his goals, he scored the harder goals than easier goals, like, yep, you know, for Jackson, and you're wondering why is that
the harder look at, goal. Okay, finish your point, please.
Look at the goal he scored today, right? You'd have, the header was not easy in any way.
Yeah, it wasn't. It wasn't.
Do you understand? You'd expect like him to like miss that and like score something a bit easier than that. Do you understand my point? So it's like, I don't think he's a natural finisher, but that doesn't take away from the fact that like he's a great footballer. Look at the way his pace, the way he carries the ball, his dribbling. Bro, you can't take things away from him and just think he's not a good footballer just because. And as a matter of fact, I'll state this on this podcast, that at the moment, Jackson has more non-penalty goals than your star boy, for crying out loud.
For real?
Yes, check it. Wow. Saka has 5 penalty goals this season, 15 goals in total. That's 10 goals. Jackson has 11 at the moment.
Wow. So Mike, do you know what's funny about this conversation? So whenever people talk about Cole Palmer, then you say, oh, you don't care, all he has to score goals. And then now Nicholas Jackson, who plays as Chelsea's nine, who's Chelsea's striker, who spearheads the attack, has one more goal than someone who plays on the wing, and then you're bringing,
like, who has more experience then, excuse me, but you can't even come with that, because who has more experience in the Premier League?
Who has more experience in the Premier League?
Bukayo Saka, right?
What does the experience in Premier League have to do with?
It gives him an edge. Goals? It gives him an How? Edge to like be more comfortable in the league and play better in the league.
It does not, but he's not a striker. What are you talking about, Mike? What's his name? Haaland came in last season. And he had the most goals. There are people who have been there longer. That doesn't mean anything.
Okay, but Verstappen, right? Is that Jackson is not a natural finisher, right?
No, but he's Chelsea's striker, so most of the chances that Chelsea will get go through him.
Obinna, even your legend, and right, attest to this fact. Like, so when it comes to football, hold on. When it comes to football, right, there's some intricacies that there's some people that I like to listen to, and right, because the way he analyzes football, and when it comes to from the attacking third, I like to listen to him because he's more experienced, and he'll probably be a nice. I would say striker analyst, quote unquote, because now everybody's getting in different analysts to different parts of the game. But each main mention of instinctive strikers, like as a striker, you don't even need to look up to know where the opening is, to know where the two ends of the post go post is. For example, RVP most of the time didn't even look up when he kicks the ball, right? He might just have a look to look at where the goalkeeper is and just kick. People like, I'll give you an example. Almiron scored a lot of crazy goals, start looking up, right? Foden scored a lot of goals, start looking up. So these are people that like, they are instinctive with when it comes to goal scoring. Jackson might not be, and it might be next season. Like, I'm not, you know, just using one season to just judge his whole career. It might be next season, maybe when there's a better competition, maybe
I'm not disagreeing with you. My point is, do we think Darwin Nunes is a good footballer?
So Darwin Nunes' case too is similar to.
They are similar. Exactly.
I brought Nunes up,
right? Okay. So let me. So the point is this, that he's a striker. Of course, he is the same way Rashford, for example, thinks that he should be playing down the middle, but that's not his best way. Nicholas Jackson as well is not a good footballer. He's not a good striker. But for some reason, if you ask him, I'm sure he'll tell you that he wants to be a striker, right? So I don't understand what you're trying to, the point you're trying to make now by saying that he's better off on the wing. Nobody cares. Where does he play? And
what is this guy?
One final point.
One final point. So, you know, earlier this season, when Chelsea beat Spurs 3-0, and he scored his hat-trick. And He scored a hat-trick. I think it was... Yeah, I can't remember the score, the exact score line. But I know that... I think it was like 6-3 or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he scored a hat-trick. And Mike did not let me rest that period. Because, like, Jackson scored a hat-trick. Steak and onions. If you watch that game, you see that all he missed so many chances. Because you people said that he only scores... exceptional goals. I mean, difficult chances, to quote you. It's called difficult chances, but he misses the easy ones. You need to go and watch that game. Like, all of the goals that he scored that have now put him, you know, I guess with equal goals with Saka, but then less penalties. That was the worst hat-trick I have seen in a very, very, very long time. So there's nothing fantastic about him at all. And he'll never wow me. Okay. Finally, Mike said that once upon a time that he's a better striker than Osimhen. So I just want to state that, and then if he disagrees, he can refute. I rest my case.
So hold on. So you made two points, right? First point that I want to talk about, Nunes. So Nunes is another player that when he gets to those positions, right, he rushes to make decisions. So that is the opposite, dead opposite of Jackson. Jackson slows down too much. Nunes rushes too much. So you cannot say, for Nunes, right, I would say he's not a good footballer. I would not say he's trash, right? He's just not good in front of goal. And the same thing with Jackson, he's not good in front of goal. So you cannot use that as saying, oh, he's a trash footballer in general. So let's get that point aside. Then number two, him being better than Osimhen, he's not better than Osimhen. Like, there are very few strikers in the world that are better than Osimhen. That's okay. Yeah, so that game against Tottenham, I don't think anybody in the world felt Jackson had a stellar performance in that game. I don't think anybody in the world would say that, because we all came to this podcast and said that is the worst hat trick goal scoring performance we've seen in a very long time. So I don't know why I'm even starting this podcast with Jackson. Let's talk about something.
Bro,
you started this now. You started this. Let's just dive into, because you have a lot to do. Let's talk about Liverpool. Can I start?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so Liverpool obviously have been struggling in the past, I would say, maybe 5 games in all competitions, like from FA Cup to... was it Europa League? League, then EPL. And all that has accumulated into, obvious rancor between players, which is very normal. Let me just highlight that. It's very normal. Then, in this last game, they were struggling and Klopp wanted to make the sub. Salah was on the sideline and Nunes was coming in. And I think they scored or something. They scored then, they conceded. And Klopp went to say something to Salah. And Salah reacted. Felt like Salah wanted to, you know, give him one or two. to punch him. Like, if I catch him, even for the cameras, I would have rushed you here. And Nunes, of all people, was the one that came to go and be the mediator and say, guy, relax. Like, relax. Let's end this game. And after the game, they asked Klopp what happened. Klopp was like, oh, yeah, you already trashed that out. You know, let's move on. And Salah walked through the conference area, the booth where, what's it called? The journalist asks players questions about the game, and he walked past and said, if he speaks, there'll be fire. And truly, he did not say much, yet he said a lot of things. There's a fire everywhere, and people are questioning, and people are like, oh, what's going on in the dressing room? Could it be that, you know, the love between both of them has been lost? Are they both tired? You know, all those long story. So, who wants to take the first shot? I know. Obinna doesn't like Liverpool, so I'll let Agu go first.
So I think the biggest. I feel like, what do you have an? Do you, like, if you could guess what Klopp said to him, what would it be?
I think Klopp. I would say maybe he told him that go in there and change the game for us or something. That's what I don't feel.
All right. Well, I don't know what Klopp could have possibly said to Salah, but looking at it from Salah's perspective, like, if I were in if I were in his shoes, I feel like just a few things would like get me upset. And one of those is bringing me late into the game to like, you know, change the game when I could have started the game. Someone like Salah, and if you notice, like for whatever reason, Salah hasn't been playing 90 minutes.
Okay, so sorry. So since Salah came back from injury, right? So when a lot of the players were injured, Liverpool was playing relatively well. Then when their senior players came back from injury, including Salah, Liverpool have been struggling. And Salah has been missing a lot of chances. So, yeah. And that's part of the reason why, you know, as a manager, you might want to, you know, spice things up, change flavor, do something new. So maybe that's why he has been on the bench. But I
hear you. But at the same time, there are some, like, that is the biggest player on the team.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand? And there are some games I don't believe he should be benched for, like regardless of like whatever his performance like has been in like the previous games, like given the fact that he just got back from injury. Do you understand what I'm saying? The midfield hasn't been fantastic. The defense hasn't been fantastic as well. Van Dijk and what is his name? Not Konate. Yeah. That kid was like, I don't know. I feel like I even prefer that kid to Konate, because Konate just seems to be all over the place at times. And then the Bradley, like, their defense just seems to be all over the place. There is no holding midfield to support that defense. Do you understand? So you can't necessarily put everything on Salah and Salah's performance, because when the whole team is supposed to be attacking and like holding and controlling the game type of a thing, they spend their entire time defending and trying to win the balls, which is not like, you know, Liverpool's regular type of play. So I don't know what is going on in the dressing room and what's going on in Klopp's head. I don't know if like the idea of him leaving and, you know, Liverpool already agreeing on a new manager is affecting his decisions these days, or he just doesn't care as much anymore. But I don't see why Salah should be coming, like shouldn't be playing 90 minutes in games that matter a lot, in games that would like, you know, make or break
the whole season. But Obinna, so yes. let's what's your own take on it?
No, so I mean, look, that was that. First of all, I didn't think that. I mean, we obviously don't know what was said by Klopp to Salah, but I feel like Salah's reaction, he clearly has a lot of pent up emotions and feelings towards Klopp. Because even when, you know, yes, I mean, people disagree, but when Klopp was asked about it, Klopp, you know, simply said, you know, we've talked about it, it's done type thing.
Yeah, let's move on. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but then, you know, and his interview was before Salah's.
Yes.
Right. So that we have to factor that in as well. And it seems like, I guess, you know, there are all these speculations about maybe Salah being sick of being on the bench. Mm-hmm. I also saw something about how Klopp tried to shake Salah's hand.
Yes, after the game.
Point. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. No, was it? No. Before the game, I think, when they were like, warming up, right. And he was putting, Klopp was shaking everyone's hand, and then he left his hand out there for some time, and Salah didn't shake it, and then he smashed it off. Yeah, so, I mean, look, the truth of the matter is that whatever bad blood these two men have, it seems like it's things that they are strong feelings, especially on Salah's part towards Klopp. But I think the bigger issue, though, is that Liverpool is imploding, right? And when things are not going well, people find a way to deflect from the real issues at hand. And so, you know, they are trying their best, quote unquote, and things are just not working out. So everybody will just be angry and frustrated, right? And they will now, other people now become the target of their frustrations. That's the way I see it. Until things become clearer, the one thing we can say for sure is that Liverpool is imploding at the critical part of the league, and all of these things are because if they were winning their games, we would not. I'm inclined to say we would not see that kind of outburst, right, from Klopp and Salah.
Salah. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, we would not see it. So again, these are all signs that like things are not, are just, the wheels are falling off. I saw some commentary by Carragher, who I don't rate, but I think it's indicative of where Liverpool is right now. He was talking of how maybe it's time for Liverpool to move on from Salah, right? That they should sell him this summer and cash out because the club is moving past the need for Salah. And I'm like, look at this ungrateful person. This guy gave you guys the best of his years. But then again, that's the nature of the sport. So
thank you for bringing up Carragher. So after that game, right, it was like, oh, that's normal between coach and player. You know, it happens. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Then I didn't even get to hear him say that Liverpool needs to move on from Salah. Carragher is one of those people that annoys me a lot when it comes to football commentary, punditry. He's just a ridiculous human being. I don't know how he's gotten that notoriety and that court following. Where,
and he wasn't even a good football player. That's the painful part.
So the thing is, I don't want to hold that against him, right? I don't want to hold that against him. It's normal. Like, I don't believe that should be enough reason for someone not being a good commentator of the game.
No, okay, that's not.
But I get what you're saying. But I'm just like, my own side. I don't think it's indicative of how good you should be, or if you should have an opinion about a certain sport. But this guy, he just waffles a lot, says a lot of nonsense, and I say this because during that, it's Ten Hag and Ronaldo fracas, right?
Yeah,
this guy was part of people that opened up the situation. Now, the similar situation is happening at Liverpool, which is his beloved club. He's trying to douse the situation, which is annoying because we were saying this, that this is normal. In fact, it was, I can say, as far back as the issue between Mourinho and Pogba. Normal. Mm. Like, it's very normal. Even as you are guys, we have our arguments, like, why no pass ball to me now? Why didn't give me the ball? Yeah. And like, Pogba, get out. Why did you make the correct run, or how would I give you the ball there? Like, it's normal for manager and player to fight. Like, if you're not fighting, then most of you are like, you are not doing the right things right. Like, you have to disagree. There's Yoruba added that says, if two siblings enter a room and they come out laughing, they've not spoken the truth to themselves. Yes, because if like you have a situation comes up and you need to address it. You go into your room to address it. If you come out laughing, you've not spoken right. You've not spoken truth.
No, but no. Wait. I mean, obviously, I what I'm trying to say is, if brother and sister go inside the room and they argue and then now comes the consensus and then they start laughing,
you go, no, you don't laugh. You don't laugh.
Don't worry. I'm just looking.
Yes, but yeah, like it was all over the football punditry opportunity that it has to be between. United has to pick between Pogba or Mourinho.
Yeah.
That was very, very annoying.
No, he
didn't make any sense. So now he's now trying to douse the situation that it happens, you know, it's part of the game. Like, bro, we know it's part of the game. That's what we've been saying is all this while. Now it's now your own turn. You're trying to, but anyway, I also heard that maybe. Part of the reason why Salah is angry is because maybe Salah wanted to go to Saudi Arabia and club told him that our guy chill and let's invest. Then his club now turns around and says, oh, he's leaving at the end of the season. So maybe that's part of it.
Oh, that's possible.
But anyways, so I have a question for you. Hmm?
Yeah.
Concerning Liverpool. The Liverpool bottle the league.
Did they bottle the league? I mean... Yes.
All things considered.
I'll be frank, man. The Premier League is tough. Regardless
of if it's tough or not, because they had a chance, like part of the top three that could have won.
Yeah, no. The fact of the matter is that they are not in contention, and they're not in contention anymore.
No, I mean like before now, like
yeah, they were. Okay, I mean, so... they were, but again, I guess you can say they bottled because their performances have not been good.
So they bottled the league, right?
Yeah, I guess you could say that. Yeah.
Okay, last season, Arsenal bottled the league.
Yeah, we did.
Thank you. Agu, has Liverpool bottled the league?
That's tough to say, but I think they have, given the games at hand. Yeah.
So the reason I ask this question is because we have a regular guest on this show, Olu Adenike, and he messaged me after Liverpool. I think I can't remember who stumbled. Was it Liverpool? Somebody stumbled, and he messaged me that, "Oh, can you say that Liverpool bottled the league?" I'm like, "Yes, they bottled the league." It was like, "Oh, Arsenal did not bottle the last season because yeah." I'm like, "No, you cannot say because your club you changed the definition of bottling the league." Because I brought up the example of Tottenham, who was not even, they were not even second. They were not second. They were third in the two horse race, right? So, I mean, but it's good that Obinna has agreed that.
No, why do you like Obinna?
It's good. I like it.
I say it as it is. It's just that sometimes you don't have to take the truth. No, okay. But just, yeah, we last season, I mean, it happened. Over the three games that you know we either drew or it was the West Ham, Southampton, and I can't remember the last game in that spell, Shah. But yeah, I mean, also this season it looks like it's a done deal because Tottenham now that they lost today.
This guy. Can we talk about the Tottenham Arsenal game?
Yeah, what do you have to say about?
No, you should I go first or you go first?
No, go ahead. Now.
Okay, so that game, right? And I that's this part of the things. And I know I said this, I think, few episodes ago. I don't understand what so quote unquote progressive managers are doing to football. They're making it ridiculous because how can you concede two goals from the same problem? From the same situation where I understand, like, you can concede, you know, set pieces, normal, like, it's normal, like, you can concede corner kicks. It's not a problem for me. But why are you conceding the same manner where another player of the opposite team, the same player of the opposite team, comes to disturb your keeper? So much so that he's touching his gloves and none of your players has come to push the player away to say, like, you know, come and be bodyguard, quote unquote, or for your goalie.
Sheon,
ridiculous.
Sheon, can ridiculous. I cut the shirt there?
Yes.
On a normal day, that's a foul. That's not supposed to stand in the first. So
which one? Anyways, like it's ridiculous that the players, total players, could not resolve that issue quick. And the goalkeeper too, you cannot talk that. Come and push this guy away from me. Like, how is that possible? Then using zonal marking for corner kicks, I hated it. I don't know. I think it was Ben Rogers that started it or that did it, that kind of made it popular in EPL. Can you remember?
He said zonal marking.
Yeah, zonal marking for corner kicks. Can you remember who started it? Not like started it, but like made it more pronounced for Liverpool. Yeah. It was for Liverpool. Sure.
Is it Rogers or something? Rogers or Dalglish? I don't know, sure.
No, not Dalglish. I think it was Rogers, somebody. Like, I hate zonal marking for corner kicks because now you are standing in zone and you're not touching body to mark. You're like, okay, you're standing in your zone, marking your zone and the ball. It's difficult because the players can run to the ball. How do you manage that? Before you know it, you're late to the ball and they score you.
It was until
Sar and his other black brother came into the game. Tottenham started playing kind of football and he woke up. And it was when Sal started becoming the keeper's bodyguard that stopped. Ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Okay, so ridiculous. Shem, you're saying that's one. Okay, the second goal, what do you say about that? Do you think that goal was supposed to stand?
Which one?
The second goal that Saka scored. Didn't the ball go out for throwing?
No. Even apart from that, there was even a foul. There was a penalty. So I don't know how they missed that. I don't know how that happened, but that was supposed to be a penalty. But with that said, I want to say three things, right? Saka's ball control, magnificent. Like when you control that ball.
Sorry, the signal is poor. What was that?
When you control that ball.
Yeah.
So when Havertz passed that ball, I was like, Saka don't get that ball. And when Saka controlled the ball, I was like,
yeah.
You're like, shit, this is going to be a goal because The way he killed that ball,
he killed it and brought it inside. Sean, let me ask you a question.
It was so good that the control alone helped Saka navigate the ball, because if he had miscontrolled that ball, Van Aven or whatever was coming into to get the ball.
Yeah.
Then also this guy Nicolas Fukri's control yesterday for Dortmund, superb. Like Jude's control against
PSG.
Against PSG. No. Their people's game in quarterfinal against Man City. That when he passed the ball to Jude.
Oh, Jude, yeah.
The control against Man City, superb. Like, he didn't Jude not play into that game, but that control helped.
Sure, let me ask you a question, though. Speaking of, we're talking on Saka.
Yeah.
Is Saka a world-class player?
No, he's not a world-class
player.
Thank you. why is he not?
It's been in situations where a world-class player is supposed to show and shine, and he has come short on several occasions. Not once, not twice, on many occasions. And so, although he has not played so many world-class games, I don't have enough. I would say the few world-class games he has played, I would say he has shown maybe once or twice out of maybe like 20 of them. That's not enough. That's
for club and country?
Club, country, in the league and in domestic league and Europe.
I know this is biased, so it's okay.
No, I don't be biased.
Brother, so I'm not biased about that statement.
Let me explain why I said that.
Mm.
So part of the things that is not making him quote unquote world class is because of competitions that Arsenal has been in till date. You cannot tell me you are struggling in EPL to begin with. So on what basis you're not in Europe? You're not playing.
How does this struggle in the EPL?
You're not playing against best of the best. In Europe, the first time you're experiencing it, you made the wrong decision that could have won you the game twice. Oh, by the way, so I mean, that could have been an occasion for you to say, okay, he's getting to be a world class player. Because the reason I'm saying this, and I know you're going to ask me this question. Pereira went, a former United player, former player right now, went on Ferdinand's podcast and he interviewed him. United fan on the show, and there's an Arsenal fan on the show. And Pereira was on his group, was having fun, and the sport is mood. Tell me how the sport is mood. They asked him, the Arsenal fan asked him that, who is better between Saka and Rodrigo? And it just killed my boy's mood. They were like, how can you compare those two players? Like, can't you see what they've done in football, in world football?
Rubino, who's better?
What do you mean by that? Wait, so... No, of course, Rodrigo is a better player, but the distance is not far.
I didn't ask you about it. Don't explain anything. I just said it.
No,
that was, I don't care.
Do you people think that Rodrigo is a world-class player?
He stands the chance of being a world-class player ahead of Saka.
Correct. Because he's been in situations where a world-class player needs to show himself, and he's done that. So,
and he can easily come in from the bench and change the game. Saka doesn't have that in him.
He absolutely does. And let me tell
he
you,
hasn't done
let me tell
season,
you,
I'm sorry.
No, he has.
He hasn't anyway, done it this season.
All of these things are subjective, yeah. So that's
no, not subjective, because
what?
You can see.
But you can like you can see what's changing the game. What do you mean it's subjective?
No. The world class conversation is subjective one. Two, if you the reason why this conversation is happening is because you people believe that Cole Palmer is better than Saka. Yes?
Yes, no, that was 35.
Okay. And that's fact. There's a reason why Palmer will not start ahead of Saka in England. If you watch the last World Cup when Saka was 2 years younger, he was the one that essentially brought England back into the game against France. And so for you to say that he has not had world-class performances, whether for club or country, is just not correct.
Yeah, because okay.
Thank you for mentioning
world-class performance.
Thank you. I said the numbers are not in love. Okay, thank you for even mentioning England. Do you know that in the World Cup, you said you want to lie to yourself, sir. In that World Cup, do you know who changed, who helped, who carried England a lot of times in that World Cup. Mention the name. Don't be shy. Don't be shy.
It will be Bellingham and Saka.
Yeah, a joker. Rashford carried England. Rashford carried England in that World Cup. But I mean, I understand that you want to be, you want to be ridiculous. I understand that.
If you were to be like forget like you're an Arsenal fan and you do like
it's impossible for him.
It's impossible for him, right? But it's like at the same time, it's like think about it. If in the England team, who would you rather play on the right, Saka or Palmer?
Saka.
Why would you play Saka over Palmer?
Why would I not? He's more experienced. First of all, Saka is better with both feet than Palmer is. Palmer can't use his right leg too, so he can't even stand properly on his right leg. So, like, what are you talking about? Saka shoots much better. Saka has better control. Yes, Palmer is taller and maybe better in the air. But man, I'm sorry.
How many times have you seen Palmer in the air that you brought that stats into this?
No, because he's taller. That's the only reason.
Bro, open up, you are very ridiculous.
Bro,
you're talking like a football casual watcher.
Oh my
like,
god.
You should be a casual. But let's move on. I'm tired of talking about Arsenal and whatever. Anyway, but yeah, Tottenham, they're a disgrace to world football. I will say that with all confidence because I said it. I'm like, I don't trust these sports people from the beginning of the season. Like, there's no way. And everybody was raving about Ange. Everybody was raving about how he's going to come and change the game. Now the excuse is that, they lost Kane and their player has got injured. Excuse me. You didn't know it was going to happen beginning of the season when you guys were raving about how he has come and he's playing the same style. He's sticking to his guns. Yada, yada, yada. Even Arsenal, like, is very stubborn. They started learning how to defend. They started, like, if you want to win competition, championship, you have to learn how to defend. You have to learn how to defend. Like, that's be part of your flavor. You cannot just be going all out every time. Maybe that's my own philosophy anyway. I don't know how people see that football. And they lost to Chelsea again today. So now, I mean, I'm not sure, but I think they're out of
the top. They're not out. They're not out, but the chance is because they have one game in hand, but they are 7 points behind. So
they're playing Liverpool next.
Yeah, and their game in hand is Liverpool. So
yeah. I have a question, right?
Yeah.
I've never heard anybody praise that guy for his defensive skills set. All they talk about is his pace. Maybe it's just me.
No. He's a good defender, but again, you can only do so much as a defender when you are told to push up high, because they play such a high line and then there's so much space behind. So yes, it's quick, and because of the way they play, that's why people are obviously highlighting his pace because he has to do a lot of backtracking and covering back. But he's a good defender. You have to give it to him.
I feel like he would have been more visible if like they didn't concede as much goals as they did. He conceded in every goal, so that was going to be his performance is always going to go over everyone's head, type of thing. Like,
yeah,
okay,
no, he's a good defender.
So Spurs now they're back to where they were because Ange has not done anything special since the last four managers, or the last three managers. I mean, four now, is it four or three? Mourinho,
Conte.
Last three managers.
Yeah.
Plus the one that played went to go and play final that went to go and lose.
Right, missing.
That was my manager now.
Okay.
Well, all I'm saying is I think Ange is a good coach. But again, the league is very, very tough.
Should we give him another next season, Abi?
Look, I mean, I don't know that. Obviously, first of all, I don't think that I would not want Tottenham to win anything. So
No. I'm not even saying win. You get? I'm not even saying win.
Make top four.
Do better than the last three managers at minimum. Like, so the thing is for me, right? When it comes to winning championships, I understand the nuances. But if I'm interviewing you, or if you have already gotten a job, and I'm hearing you say that top four is not really all that. winning FA Cup is not all that, Carling Cup is not all that, I'm going to sack you, my owner. Because, like, what are we doing here? Because if your team is not as strong as the best team in the league, at least aspire to win what you can win. Because lesser teams have won those small cups. And that's my problem with Pochettino when he was at Tottenham. It was like, oh, he doesn't care about the small cups. Like, dude, win something. He's still winning mentality to your team first. Pep, first thing he won was a small cup. Mourinho, anywhere he goes to, he wins that small cup first. Like, okay, let me use one to warm myself. That's how you know he's a serious manager.
I told you, Ashimu Shah is a hater. But
no, I was supposed to say this. Thank you for even reminding me. I'm holding, as Kendrick Lamar said, like, forget about all those love. It's about love and hate. I'm coming out to tell you that I hate well. And if I hate you, I'll say I hate you. Arsenal. I hate Arsenal. No man. I mean, I used to be on the fence with Spurs. But when Angie came and I've been hearing too much noise about him, I'm like, this guy's not anything. That made me hate.
I think he has Spurs one. And Angie. Would you compare him to, what's this guy's name? Brighton's manager.
Tenag. Brighton. Oh, I forgot about to talk about that
it's
one.
It's like they have.
That was a dumb bomb.
Kind of like they have one style that like everyone has figured out, which is why it's not working out for them anymore. So would that make them not be a good coach anymore, a good manager?
Yep. No, not necessarily. So you being a bad manager is not because of what you are facing right now. It has a lot of nuances to it. Your club, the player, that period, everything. Like a lot of things makes you struggle in that particular time. Like Ancelotti struggled at Everton. You cannot say Ancelotti is a bad manager. Now he has gone to Madrid and he's like, he got there. Do you know what I'm saying? So
let me ask you a question. So when you hate on me, I hope we can both agree that when I quote unquote hate on someone, it's because they're not good, right?
Okay.
But you, huh?
I don't know.
I'm listening. I'm making finish now. Finish.
No, but for both of you guys just hate for the sake of hating. And I think that's problematic. When I say Nicholas Jackson is not good, or Fellaini is not good, or Darwin Nunez is not good, or who else do I say is not good? I don't think people are not good, but people like that are not good. I say it because they genuinely are not good. So why is it that you just hate and... Okay, is Arsenal a good team now? Is Chelsea a good team, actually, now? Let me see.
Chelsea?
Yeah.
Right now?
Yeah.
Today.
Yeah.
Yes. They've improved. From where they started.
Yeah, so Chelsea's... You think Chelsea's not a good team?
They're not a good team. They're not a good team. But what basis? Like, how are you going to say that they're a good team? Because they beat Tottenham today. They're not a good
no,
team.
But you think... I mean, first of all, this is... Not because of that. To start with, this is... The oldest player on the field today was 25. Did you see Chelsea's bench?
No.
No team would survive. Chelsea has had, like, on average, at least 14 players injured. No team... Arsenal would not survive that. If you guys have 14 players injured, you guys would not be in top 10. Let's face facts. True or false? There's nothing to laugh about. Like, let's
no.
Right?
Whose fault is it that players were injured? Like, you can only play with who you have available. Like... I think that's a cheap excuse because everyone comes into the season. You know that people get injured, so like I don't buy that. I'm sorry, but go on.
Obina, but you use injury to
attack. Right. See, I think Obina is like he's wild. I think he's wild.
I'm probably the only person that hates that injury excuse, and I always stick to it. So me, I don't buy that injury thing. The only thing I know that is
you don't buy the injury thing even for Chelsea this season. With everything, look at Chelsea's
wait
game
now.
No. Look at Chelsea's game today, right? Tell me who you know on the bench. Go and look at Chelsea's game today and tell me who you know on the bench.
But anyway, wait. I'm glad to say that the only excuse I have for Chelsea, and I'm stuck to it, is the age factor. Those guys are kids. They are too young to be playing at that level. They don't have anybody that they're looking up to, which is part of the things that I have against some of the players at United, Garnacho and co. They don't have anybody they're looking up to. I don't accept kids playing so many games.
Last season, and all of you crucified us.
No, Aston Young team players have played together for a while. That's why they're playing well now.
What?
They've been together for a while. Saka's been playing. Saka played under him before Emery came. Odegaard came under Emery, right? Or before Emery. Martinelli, Emery discovered him. So I don't know what you're talking about. Like, so Obinna, please. When I talk about a team, stop mentioning your team, please. Please. It's annoying. Stop mentioning your team. Anyway, I feel like Chelsea's problem is the age. And if I don't know how you guys are going to do it, but if you guys can stick to Pochettino and those players, at least for one more season, don't sell them. Let them continue playing. Let them continue learning. It might help them. They might become better. You know, give them one more season and see how it goes. That's just my own opinion about Chelsea.
I mean, at the end of the day, right, like, that was very... You can say that, but it's like, when you put all these young players on the field to play, and, okay, look at other teams. Look at United. When Garnacho is on the field, you have players like Bruno on the field. You have players like Casemiro on the field. Players that have stacked up experience and years. Do you understand?
Yeah.
But when you look at Chelsea, right, you have Madueke on the field. Who is he looking up to on the field again? Do you understand?
Yeah.
Is he looking up to Caicedo that came with him? Or is he looking up to Enzo that came with him? Do you understand? There's nobody for these guys to look up to. So it's like a very young team. It's the bench hasn't even helped. And this is where, like, what's it called? The injury would have, played a part. Where it's like people like Colwood that have a bit more experience than Gilchrist that, keeps coming on from the bench and everything. These are, like, players that, like, these younger players could look up to and stuff like that. But for you guys to say that injury doesn't matter, I think it's wild. Especially for a team like Chelsea that has, like, 90% of their, like, pretty much, like, the majority of the team is just young. Like, it's just wild for the injury.
Of course it matters. I mean, no, of course it matters. After all, for example, the reason Arsenal lost the league last season was because of Saliba. No. So, of course it matters. I mean, we've seen... It matters. However, though, you should still... It should not be the excuse. Yes, it matters, but it should not be the excuse.
But if everybody on the team... If every almost, like, 70% of the players on the team haven't played... Like, this is their first season playing in Premier League. What do you expect?
My point is... Look, yes, you can make the argument, but it's not the... you should not use that and say, oh... We are down here. We're a mid-team table, which Chelsea is this season because of injuries. Right? At the end of the day, it's on you. It's on your fitness coaches. It's on you. Come into the season with X amount of players because you expect that. Oh, we're not just here for 5 games. We're here for 38 games and some more FA Cup. So you should be able to still field a team that. I mean, if you're a team like Chelsea should still aspire to win. Now, if injuries come, well, that's unfortunate. But the
okay, let's talk about Champions League, please. Is enough talking about Chelsea and not Chelsea? Did you watch the games, Agu?
Oh, which of them?
I had two of them now. The first semi-final and the second semi-final.
I actually did not watch any of them, but I just saw, like... This news is not interesting anymore, man. What am I going
to... Why is it not interesting? Because Chelsea is not playing well.
I mean, well, we can say that. There's no Prem team to support. And, I mean, honestly, if I was to support anyone, it's going to be too cool.
Too cool?
Yeah, for Bayern.
So you think Bayern will beat Madrid?
I would love that to happen, actually. I don't need Madrid doing this stuff again.
Why?
And I also need Tuchel to prove a point at Bayern. Because I think he's a very good manager. And I think they're treating him as shit. Like, I don't think
he's a very good manager.
I don't think he deserves the treatment he's getting.
But part of it is that he brought some of these problems on himself. Do you know that?
How?
Okay. There's one problem that he has not found a solution tonight. He's still sticking to it.
Yeah.
I talk about Champions League now. So, part of the things that Tuchel has done wrong this season and insisted into it, and I'm repeating it again, putting Kimmich as a right back. That's part of the mistake he has made this season. Don't put and so he came out and said, oh, he doesn't have I think number six or something, trying to throw jab at Kimmich that he needs to pick, he needs to buy a new number six. I'm like, dude, this guy's one of the best number six in the world. And you're coming into the club and like, oh, this is not my guy. Of course, it's gonna affect the whole dressing room. Then you're not putting up, we're not gonna put him on the right as right back. Granted, he has injury there. He has injuries, like the right back is supposed to play there, he's injured. But you cannot tell me that you cannot find somebody from somewhere in the academy or somebody, although Kimmich again is because he's good at those two positions. Part of the problem too for himself. So he has been played there and he has played well. And it's funny, dread poetic justice, it was Kimmich that carried him to semi-final, scoring that goal against Arsenal. So it's just crazy. Obi, did you watch the semi-finals of Champions League?
Yeah, I did. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah,
can you?
Oh yeah, I watched it. It was a good game. I think Bayern played very well, right? But then you know, they just in the final third, they just couldn't get that final pass. And then obviously it's Madrid, you know, they know how to stay in games and then just get and then they're defending too, as Rudiger he can have amazing performances. You know, like he can be such a good defender. Tony, first of all, what a run by Vinicius, right? The fake around Kimmich, and then the ball from Cruz, spectacular, right? So that's the difference between, you know, a team that just has individual quality all around, and then a well-oiled machine, right? Like, I know you would say you'll be annoyed with this, but Arsenal, right? Like,
No.
I'm making a point here, right? Like, yes, we have individual players, but more so, it's the structure. Like, it's a very structured team. So, like, City, for example. Well, Madrid, Bayern, too, right? At the end of the day, man, these are world-class players in practically every position. And so, In very cagey games like that, you can just have one person just do a dummy run like that, take the defender, and then just because he believes or he trusts his pace to be able to catch up to the, and he knows that Cruz will be able to make that pass. So like it was just a fascinating game.
You know that pass, that Cruz pass, right? You know, yeah. The passes that when you're playing in the midfield, you can see it, you try it. Some days it will work, and the player might not get to it, or. Yeah. As you try it, somebody will just stick out their leg and you just stop that pass. You can see the pass. You know, you can see it, but you try it and it's not going to just work out as supposed to work out. Like, that part was ridiculous. And I don't understand why people were blaming Kim for that goal, because at the beginning of the game, something similar happened where they passed the ball, like, you know, so that Vinicius can run towards the ball. And Kim stopped it, got there earlier than Vinicius. Of course, you trust yourself to do that again. Unfortunately for him, he beat too much into the midfield, which is part of the reasons why I hate when the style of football where people are doing and where they're making your players, your defenders form three at the back, even though you're playing four defenders. So that one of them can go into the midfield, creating that hole, that space. And that's exactly what happened. He beat in too much because he was in the middle. He beat in too much, followed Vinny in, and Vinny made that diagonal run, and that was it. That was the end of it. Uh-huh. So,
also, Sané had not scored in a very long time. Well, what a goal!
That goal was ridiculous. It was one of those goals that when he kicked it, the ball went. It went like it was ridiculous. That was a fantastic showing.
And then yesterday, PSG Dortmund as well. Dortmund PSG. Man, there were a lot of chances in that match, man. Like, both teams had chances. So
it's not ridiculous that the both German teams, they are struggling in the league, But when it comes to Champions League, they're like up, you're up there, they're ante.
Well, it's crazy. That's all they're playing for this season, though, so.
Several teams.
The other teams have Madrid and PSG have both locked in, won the league.
Mm-hmm.
So, but especially Bayern. I mean, and you, it's practically unheard of for Bayern to go a season without winning anything. So
anything, yeah.
They have to put everything in the Champions League.
Did you see Sancho?
Fantastic.
Okay. Fantastic. So for you, say fantastic, right? Olu again. Olu is my problem. I think Olu is my problem when it comes to football because.
So then, are you saying that you don't hate all Arsenal fans? You just have a problem with Olu?
No. Because Olu is like the, I would say the Arsenal thought. Because that's how a lot of Arsenal fans think. Olu, we had a discussion and Olu told me that Nketiah would go higher in price. Like, we're going to sell Nketiah than Sancho. He was serious because Nketiah has more goals and assists than Sancho in EPL. No, and I'm like, please, no.
You people need to understand that because of how much you hate Arsenal fans, we have to be obnoxious sometimes.
Like, it's ridiculous. Sancho, we're talking about Sancho.
He was joking.
I don't believe you because. He's not that discussing all these things.
He was just joking now. Come on.
So this statement was made on, I think, on Sunday or Saturday. And Sancho now says, okay, let me now show you who I am. And he did yesterday. Nobody could stop him. Like, it was, you know, when a player gets to a particular stage, like a particular space during a game where everything just works out for them, everything becomes slow, everything becomes very fast for them. They can see what people cannot see. That happened to him yesterday. Nobody could stop him, man. It was ridiculous. Thank you for acknowledging the greatness. Thank you for not being biased. Maybe because he's not playing for United at the moment. That's why you accepted that.
No, I think
that's why as well.
No, for example, no. See, United, whenever there's a good player, I'll admit, for example, Lisandro Martinez, I think he's a good defender. Luke Shaw, on the other hand, because Sheon has said Luke Shaw is the best left back in the league. That is a lie. Yes.
It's not me. Never. It cannot be.
I wanted you to say that.
Of all the players, like, trust me, everybody know. Like, people that know me when I'm talking about United, Luke Shaw, no. It's okay, no for me. Luke Shaw.
I just want you to denounce everybody. Sheon also says that Rashford is a world class player. Is he?
Yes.
No, he's not. Sorry.
Right, he doesn't know where he is. That guy is a world-class player. Rashford is a world-class player and Saka isn't. It's just no. They just no way.
Yeah. Exactly. I don't know what you're talking about. But yeah,
bro, Sancho was... Obina, is Bruno a good player?
Yes. Okay. I've even said that I actually put Bruno as a world-class player. I like Bruno Fernandes.
So what about Bruno, right?
I really dislike his antics. But in terms of actual ball, I'd go as far as say I hate what he does when he's trying to dive on. But in terms of actual ball playing, I actually rate him.
Okay, let's move on. Time is fast spent. Yes. Also, I think I also need to make mention of this about Sancho. I followed Sancho for a while and I noticed that he plays well second half of the season. That's when he starts to ball. Maybe United should have just found a way to just tie him down a little bit this season, you know, and unleash him second half of the season. I don't know.
I don't know.
Because people are just noticing him yesterday. But he has been super for Dortmund for a while now. Maybe not like the height he attained yesterday, but in their previous game in quarterfinal, I think it was man of the match. One of the legs, yeah. That man is doing things, man. He's bowling.
No,
he's got his groove back.
So Mike, really quickly, who do you think will win the Champions League this season?
That was a tough one. It has to be between Madrid or Bayern. I would go for Bayern.
Okay.
Shemu, how about you?
I still will put my tent with Madrid. I still, because of experience. But you see that Dortmund, I'm looking at them somehow. Those guys, if they survive PSG, there'll be a problem in the final. Because the way they play so chaotic. And I don't know. It'd be a nice game for between them and Madrid. Because that was, you see, chaos that was chaos. Because you don't know what to plan for.
I think it'll be Madrid. I want Dortmund to win it. But I think Madrid will win it.
Why do you want Dortmund to win it?
Because of Marco Reus.
Yeah, that's
good. Okay, that's fair. I hear that.
I also want Sancho to win it. So when he comes back, you could have carried it to that. Say, put your tapas on the table before you talk to me.
Yeah, Marco Reus is the reason I want Dortmund to win it. Because like every time, even when, like, you know, for Germany, he would be injured before major tournaments and then they'll go and win it. And then he got to the final last time and he lost to Bayern. So yeah, I want the guy to win it, man. At least let's.
What if they get to the final with Bayern?
And he had Bayern the chance. Again. What do you say? And he gets injured again?
No. And he loses to Bayern again.
Well, I don't think Bayern make it to the final. In all fairness, but I also like that, you know, he was loyal to Dortmund because he could have left there multiple times and obviously he would have gone to Bayern like Marco Reus, Hummels, Lewandowski, like all of them.
So would you give it to him on settlement? Well done.
No, not just that. I mean, he has been a fantastic player as well over the years.
Okay, quickly. Yeah. I thought we were going to ask this question. Who's going to win Ballon d'Or this season? Or this period? Can I see next year?
Let's see. It depends. Because...
So, what are like the five people that are...
It depends on how England does in the Euros. Right, because you know Euro.
Oh, I forgot who is there. I forgot him.
I think it depends on how they perform. But from England, let me say this: Bellingham is a strong contender.
On what grounds?
He won La Liga.
I was hoping you would not mention Bellingham.
No. You asked me the players. Let me mention quickly.
Okay.
Bellingham, because he has won La Liga. Depending on how England perform in the Euros, and then obviously depending on how Madrid do in the Champions League. Phil Foden, again, I put him in that bracket depending on how.
Just mention the names. Don't explain. Just mention the names.
Okay, Declan Rice.
I'm tired of football. Man. I'm tired of football. So I'll be alive, and then guys will win Ballon d'Or. It is life.
Do you really think Declan Rice has a dream? Ballon d'Or over Palmer.
Over Palmer. You know, Rice is in contention for player of the season. Do you agree with... Do you know that?
Move on.
No, so Bellingham, Foden, Rice, Saka.
Saka. Saka.
Bro, this is racism now.
Shame, please. What are your own five?
And then, KDB.
You know, you are disrespecting Vinny, and it's unfair. It's really unfair, man. It's really unfair because that guy is bowling his heart out, and nobody's just respecting
him. That's fair.
You're mentioning Jude Bellingham that man has been quiet for the past 2 months now. You just hype around him right now. 2 months or 3 months. That'd be quiet. No.
Well, like I said, it matters. You asked me Ballon d'Or.
I can't believe this.
Why not?
It's ridiculous, Abi.
It's wild, bro. It's wild.
Abeg, so Agu, I'm not asking you. I just that question was a trap for Obi and referring to it. So let's move on.
I'm trying to understand what the trap was.
Don't worry. Let's move on.
I told you that this is a year, this is the season of this season, Euros will affect who win the Ballon d'Or.
Don't repeat yourself. Where do you? So, question. Do you guys notice how Mbappe has started playing like Neymar? When Neymar was at PSG and Brazil, this man would go deep to get the ball when he's supposed to hurt the team up the field. And that's what happened yesterday, where Mbappe was at the wrong places getting the ball and trying to, like, progress the ball. And passing to the obvious fool in the front.
But I think that comes also with the way the position he's like when he gets to play top nine. I think that's what comes with it. when he plays from the wing, when he plays from the wing, he's a different player from when he plays up top.
Because, you know, Dortmund defenders are slow. So why can't you test their pace? Why can't you sit on their shoulders? Why are you going deep? And they can see you coming and they can stop you.
You know, I strongly believe there's something all these managers see that we don't see. Because sometimes some decisions are...
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, bro, I don't get it.
It's ridiculous. That's part of my issue with Neymar. Neymar, so like, why are you going deep to get the ball from your defender? Like, why? Why are you doing that? I know you can dribble everybody, but don't be doing that. Whether you dribble 1, 2, 3, they'll get the ball from you. You have to start again. Anyway, open up, please. Let's predict the games for... Because time has gone.
So, anyway, so as you can see, this episode is... It was clearly a very, very biased-filled episode in the sense that no consensus was reached. However, to those of you who are listening, please, if you got this far, let us know your thoughts on Bukayo Saka being a world-class player. And I rest my case there.
I've been on Ballon d'Or list with Rice. Football has fallen, man. Football has fallen.
Anyway, so the first game for the weekend is Luton Everton.
Everton, they are flying high now. I expect them to beat Luton. I don't care what Luton wants to do at home. I expect them a 1-0, 2-0 game.
Mike?
I think Luton is going to beat Everton.
Although Everton has... we didn't discuss relegation. Everton has escaped relegation.
They're pretty much safe, yeah.
Congrats to them.
Yeah. I see a draw here, and that should seal Luton's fate. That's not Bournemouth.
That's a draw. That's a draw.
I'm really hoping something crazy draw. Happens. That's
a draw. a bit of last season. That's a draw.
Arsenal will beat Bournemouth.
Okay. Yeah, I think so too.
Arsenal will beat Bournemouth. There's not anyway. Is it unfortunately? I'm screaming. Brentford, Fulham.
Fulham, yeah. It's something about, like, I don't know what's been going on with Brentford and their manager, benching Ivan Toney, and the rotation that's been going on up front. And the thing just seems to be all over the place this day.
It's because they've escaped relegation now, so most of them are just chilling. They know they're not really getting, so that's why the teams are, like, on break right now.
It could also be that, like, because they know Ivan Toney is going to leave this season.
Oh, yeah, that might be that, too, yeah.
Burnley, Newcastle.
Wait, just say your own now, quick.
Okay. That's a draw.
Okay.
Burnley,
Newcastle. Newcastle going to beat Burnley like thieves.
Yeah, I think Newcastle too.
Yeah, that's a Newcastle win. Sheffield, Forest.
They're not playing for anything. What are you playing?
Yeah, Forest.
Forest, they need it. They are not.
Yeah, so pressure on Forest.
Forest, that's a Forest win.
Pressure on Forest. They might draw that game.
That's a Forest win. Those useless guys that could have beat City.
Okay.
What could have been? City Wolves. I actually think this is a tough game for City.
It is, but City will find a way.
Okay.
I think it's going to be...
City will find a way.
City win. I think Foden is going to be back, so that helps them.
Yeah, that's something.
That helps.
I don't know what I was telling. I was like, the only way... What Arsenal should be praying for now is Foden's injury. That's what they should be praying for. Because that guy...
Yeah,
he's been on that level.
I see a Wolves win.
I know you see a Wolves win, of course, because that's what people do.
Yeah.
Brighton, Villa.
Aston Villa.
Yeah.
Of which Aston Villa, they lost their game in Europe.
Today, yeah, they fought to Olympiacos. Chelsea, yeah. West Ham.
That's a good game. Chelsea should win this game.
See a West Ham win.
Of course you see a West Ham win.
That'd be interesting.
Liverpool, Spurs.
This game is going to be tough. Chaos. Two useless teams.
I hope Liverpool wins.
Wow.
I want a draw. So I'll pick a draw. Tottenham, they lost bad. So Tottenham plays better in second half. So maybe they will do something. So
the thing is, these two teams are used to conceding goals. So
yep.
Yeah. That's like a draw.
I hope for a Spurs win.
I hope.
I know why you do so.
Palace United. Palace.
And okay, Palace, this Palace, Palace a bit.
I mean, you didn't think about if, like your position if, with this.
If let me check if these boys are injured. They're not injured.
I'm not even saying it's out of hatred for United. I'm just saying like they can't cope with Palace. And by the Palace, they're playing really well now. No, I'm not even joking.
Obina, please, I beg.
Yeah.
I'm serious. But if Palace will win, but I see where. But Palace will win, but that you haven't been fair with your.
No, I told you, Mike, for example, asked you last weekend when before they played Burnley. I told you that United will not beat Burnley.
But you know, you said Burnley was going to beat United. You said it.
No, but I think United will not beat Burnley.
You said United were going to lose. Don't lie.
Yeah, don't but lie. I mean, can't drawing lie. Against Burnley, is that not a loss? Wait, drawing with Burnley, is that not a loss?
It depends on how you look at it.
Exactly.
Okay. No problem. but yeah, Crystal Palace might beat United. That game can go both ways. I don't
know. It's not my deal.
United is struggling right now, so there's only for them to play for. So they're just also Crystal Palace too. They're like comfortable now because I think they're celebrating 11th time. I don't know, maybe like how many seasons in EPL, but I'm not really getting. So they're just okay, happy where they are. So that game, I don't know. Anyway.
Good game, man. You. Anyway, with that, we've come to the end of.
Wait, sorry. Show. Before you guys.
Oh yeah. Yeah, Mike.
Can you guys predict what's it called? Top six.
Top six. Yeah, I'll go.
I need to start with.
Okay.
I mean,
just as that time has gone. Time has gone.
Honestly, I'll say this. It hurts me to say this, but. Yeah, City, Arsenal. Actually, no, City will drop points. Arsenal, City, Liverpool, Villa, Spurs. That's five already. Who's six? United.
City, Arsenal, Liverpool, Villa, Spurs, United. Chelsea might come. They're coming, but.
Yeah,
no. I don't know.
They can't do it.
I feel like Chelsea might be six.
They waited too long.
The thing is,
they waited too long.
So be six. I think just 3 points between United and Chelsea. So don't say you waited too long. Just 3 points between them.
But this is the game that is going to make it, Joe. Because if Newcastle should win this weekend and Chelsea should win this weekend and United should lose to Crystal Palace, then I think that's it for them.
Wait, Newcastle, are they in contention? Oh, they are. Oh,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. And I play United too, so that game's going to be very critical for the both teams.
I forgot about them. Actually, you know what? Sorry, I switch out United and Newcastle. Newcastle is my sixth team. Okay. Sorry.
So you're saying Arsenal
going to win all their games?
Who?
Arsenal going to win all their games, that's what you're saying.
Yes.
And Spurs is still top five?
Yeah, Spurs will finish fifth.
Okay, so that means Spurs are going to win all their games too.
No, I see City dropping points with Wolves. I don't know about Spurs.
No,
Spurs,
yeah, they Spurs, win all their Spurs. Games.
They win all,
so Spurs, Spurs will beat City.
Be Liverpool, you mean?
And be Liverpool. No, actually, that's the two top games that they're playing.
Yeah, Spurs, yeah. No.
They'll beat Liverpool. They might drop points to City, but United will drop points as well. And Newcastle will drop points too. No, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if Newcastle drop points. Yeah.
Okay.
Spurs, so they'll win every game. They win every game but City Spurs.
Okay. And Arsenal will beat other opponents.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Anyway, thank you guys. You've come this far. It's been a long episode with a lot of Arsenal bias. We were first fed Arsenal philosophy.
Propaganda.
We came out alive. Thank God I came with the better London team in Chelsea. If not, only God knows how I will have survived this episode. Thank you for everyone for speaking with us up to this point. We remain Bias Football Takes. We'll meet you and my voice again next episode, God willing. Obina, any final thoughts?
I'll be here next week, of course. Still at the top of the league. I just have one more question before we leave. Who is a better defender, Saliba or Konate? Okay, that's it. I'm just kidding.
Agu, thank you for showing up.
Thanks for coming, Mike. Mike, I want you to be back next weekend.
All right, I'll be back
next week. Come back.
Come on, pull up.
All right, yes,
oh, hey, that reminds me. I feel like our last episode is gonna be fire. Or the episode after the end of the season, I feel like it's gonna be fire because a lot of teams. If Arsenal wins the league, I probably not sure.
I probably won't. This
I don't know.
Look at it. No, I can. I'll fly solo. I'll record solo. That's fine.
But yeah, what's it called? If you're listening, don't forget to like, subscribe.
Yeah, tell them.
Thank you. Podcast. Thank you. All right. Peace.
All right. Peace, everyone. Yeah. Bye.